Conclusion. Although life may not be fair, it does offer us a great opportunity. We have the chance to follow the path to liberation to whatever degree we wish. We can live ethical lives. We can practice meditation. We can develop wisdom and compassion. Then we shall be more than equal to anything that life can throw at us, as we have seen with many of the individuals in these stories. This is a book of stories rather than a systematic presentation of the path to freedom. Nevertheless, through taking the stories to heart, we should be able to discern a clear path of development, which, if followed, will lead us to liberation. In the first two chapters, we encountered two people who could not bear to look at their true situation. Kisa Gotami could not acknowledge that her child had died, but in her search for medicine, she had the good fortune to be directed to the Buddha. By a kind stratagem, he led her to see the distinction between the noble and the ignoble quests. Realizing that mundane life can never give fulfillment, she went for refuge. This is the vital commitment to the path that we all need to make if we are to find true freedom, a commitment that underpins all our efforts. In Kisa Gotami's case, so clear was her vision of the nature of existence when she went for refuge that, unusually, she almost immediately gained stream entry, the point at which continued progress on the path to freedom becomes guaranteed. Having made a commitment to freedom, we next need to establish an ethical basis for our practice. In the tragic story of Donald Crowhurst, who could not bring himself to acknowledge his true position, even to those who cared about him, we witnessed the negative effects of ignoring the ethical dimension of life. We also saw that the Buddha's ethical precepts are not arbitrary rules, but the condensed wisdom based on his enlightened experience of how to act in accordance with the true nature of things. Going with the grain of life in this way, we can avoid causing suffering to ourselves and others. Acting in the way that would come naturally to someone who is totally free, we become freer ourselves. The positive and expansive mental states we produce by following the precepts are deepened through the practice of meditation. This involves exploring the depths of ourselves, as the king and his spiritual friend Jivaka did symbolically by venturing into the forest, where they discovered the charmed circle of the Buddha and his silent meditating wanderers. We saw that this exploration requires us to let go of fixed ideas about who we are, and especially of seeing the world in terms of status and fixed roles. The whole process of ethical practice and meditation involves overcoming our habitual tendencies to respond to stimuli with craving and aversion. This is true internally, in working directly with our own minds in meditation. It is also true in relation to our life as social beings in the wider world. In the last of our Pali stories, the jealous wanderers of other sects cause the people of Sarvati to unjustly accuse the Buddhists of murder. We saw the Buddha urging his followers not to respond in kind, but to practice patience. Out of this, we explored the whole tendency that underpins so much of mundane life and binds us to the wheel of suffering, the tendency to think in terms of reciprocal relationships. In examining that story, I made the point that the Buddha was not just recommending patient forbearance to his followers, but a dynamic loving-kindness, even towards those who were attacking them. This loving-kindness finds its fruition in the Mahayana ideal of the Bodhisattva, which is central to all forms of Tibetan Buddhism. When Dolma Jigme Khelsang gave his life to prevent a total stranger from being tortured to death, he was expressing that heartfelt compassion for all that lives, which is the hallmark of the Bodhisattva. As we saw, this opening of the heart can be developed by meditation. It is born along with transcendental wisdom, which sees through the illusion of a separate, inherently existent self. With the death of this illusion, you stand shoulder to shoulder with all life. With the arising of wisdom and compassion, true freedom is established. When you have overcome all fear of death and your heart is open to all beings, you are liberated. So the remainder of our stories all widened our understanding of the nature of that freedom and how to attain it. Narappa's meeting with the strange old woman, who turned out to be the Dakini Vajrayogini, showed us the dangers of settling down on the path to freedom. Sometimes we can even take ways of thinking and practices that are designed to help us become free and wrap them around ourselves like new chains. So we were reminded of how the Dharma is a raft, that it is only a support on the way to freedom. We also looked at some pitfalls inherent in the ways we use language, bending our experience to conform to our language, treating abstractions as things, and taking life for granted by treating descriptions as explanations. All these are attempts to fix our experience and prevent us from entering the ungraspable mystery of true freedom symbolized by the Dakini. This theme was continued when we met Narappa again, years later, when his disciple Marpa came to visit him, bearing the precious gift he had carried with him across the Himalayas. As the two men sat in their golden clearing, they showed us how we tend to become fixated on experience, and particularly how our limitless consciousness becomes trapped by our identification with the physical body. We then moved on to Japan, where the Zen school has always emphasized teaching by example rather than explanation. Thus, each of our three Zen masters demonstrated an aspect of freedom under the most difficult circumstances possible. Challenged by life, they moved freely within an extra dimension, even when there appeared to be no room for a maneuver in their external situation. Takuan demonstrated freedom from fear and hesitation. He went to face a tiger without a second thought, happily running down to its cage when most of us was hesitate, convinced we were going to our death. Bokusan showed us his freedom from accepting the world on its own terms. Usually we take the world on the terms we are given. As a result, we feel constrained by our social situation and our relationships with people. Bokusan was not limited by the assumptions of the people around him. Three men said, "Do this or we'll kill you," and he was still free. Musō returned us to the theme of Chapter 3. He was free from any desire to cause harm to anyone in any circumstances, even when he had been given very good cause. He had been hit with an iron weapon and would probably have a scar on his forehead until he died, but he did not react with anger or any desire for revenge. He kept a steady feeling of concern for everyone on the ferry, even the drunken samurai. Through exploring his teaching to his friend, through which Musō saved the samurai's life, we saw ways of containing and working with our own powerful negative emotions and impulses. Throughout this book, we have seen many demonstrations of the wonderful potential of the human spirit. To take just a few examples, we witnessed a woman, crazed with grief and feeling she had nothing to live for, transformed into a serene sage. We watched a man submitting himself to a painful death in order to save a complete stranger, a thief, from suffering. We saw a human being leap into a tiger's cage without a second thought. These three people were not born with the ability to act in these ways. They developed it through meditation and Dharma practice. All men and women have the potential to become heroes and heroines of wisdom and compassion. To help us fulfill that potential, we can store these incidents away in our hearts and allow them to affect us. We can live in them for a while in our imagination and allow them to change our lives. These stories can help us to remember to dwell in the gap of awareness between stimulus and response, making efforts to transform ourselves, recalling Musō's injunction, now is the time to apply our Buddhism. If we keep doing this, we shall eventually find that these stories have helped to ferry us across to the further shore of freedom. The end.